Tenko versus Holder. Mr. Shaw.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tejas Shaw, and I represent the petitioner, Mr. Igor Klyuchenko, in this matter. May it please the Court, the issue before this Court is whether there is substantial evidence to support the Board of Immigration Appeals' finding that the petitioner in this case was not persecuted on account of his political opinion, that there was not a nexus between the persecution that he experienced and his political opinion, and whether or not the government of Ukraine was unable or unwilling to protect him from such persecution. Furthermore, the issue before this Court is also whether or not the petitioner can demonstrate that it is more likely than not that he would, in fact, be persecuted if he returns to Ukraine. In this case, the evidence shows that this petitioner was specifically targeted on multiple occasions by individuals that he identified on account of his political opinion. He was an active member of the UNA-UNSO, an active political group in Ukraine during the past decade at a tumultuous time in Ukrainian politics. He became involved with this group in the year 2000 and continued to stay actively involved during elections between Mr. Viktor Yushchenko and Mr. Viktor Yanukovych. The first occasion on which he was specifically harmed on account of his political opinion was in May of 2004, when he spoke before a large rally of people in Mitshevitsky Square specifically espoused his political views in
Counsel,
support.
Is there any material difference between this case and Yasinski against Holder?
I apologize, Your Honor. Would you repeat the
Is there any material difference between this case and Yasinski against Holder?
Well, the material difference in this case, Your Honor, is that there were specific complaints made to the police about the...
There were in Yasinski as well.
Right. And the
so
difference...
I'm asking about differences, not similarities.
Sure.
The similarities are screamingly obvious. As far as I can figure out, Yasinski and Klyuchenko filed identical briefs before the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Well, Your Honor, the most material difference
is... You were there as Yasinski's lawyer, weren't you?
I was not, Your Honor.
You were not?
No. And, in fact, it was not our offices that filed the brief before the Board of Immigration Appeals in this matter. But
they are what they are, right? They're identical briefs filed before the BIA. Yasinski reaches the Seventh Circuit first. We hold that substantial evidence supports the decision. How would it be possible to hold otherwise here, given that the presentation to the agency was identical?
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, I would focus on the facts of this matter, and the facts of this matter do, in fact, show...
The facts of this matter, according to the briefs filed before the Board of Immigration Appeals, were identical. That's what it means to say that identical briefs were filed. Now, there is some question whether either brief filed before the Board had anything to do with the record built before the immigration judge. But we are reviewing the decision of the Board. We held in Yasinski that after presentation saying X to the Board, substantial evidence supports the decision. An identical brief is filed here. How can we say anything other than substantial evidence supports the decision?
Because the facts are entirely different in this matter, Your Honor, and the facts are different.
If the facts are different, it's the responsibility of counsel to point out the difference to the Board. We're supposed to be reviewing the decision of the Board in response to the presentation made to it.
Sure, Your Honor. And I understand that there were perhaps some omissions in the presentation to the Board, which, of course, was not something that our office has filed.
The fact that identical briefs were filed in different cases suggests that one or more of them was a false representation to the Board. Are you saying that this is the case where the representations to the Board were false? Representations to the IJ were true, the representations to the Board were false. You want us to ignore what was said to the Board and look at what was said to the IJ? Is that your position?
It is not my position, Your Honor. The issue before the Board was simply
that. All right,
that.
So we look at the representations made to the Board, and then we're back to the point that the representations made to the Board in this case and Yasinski were identical.
Your Honor, in this case, the representations that were made to the Board were simply arguments in the notice of appeal. The briefs that were filed with the Board were untimely. And going to your point about distinctions between this case and other similar cases, the facts are extremely different. Specifically, addressing the issue of whether or not the government of Ukraine was unable or unwilling to protect the petitioner from persecution in this matter, the fact of the matter is that he filed multiple complaints. His complaints were closed, and the police contended that there was no...
That was true in Yasinski.
Right, but there was no evidence... The police contended that there was no evidence of any sort of criminal activity.
That was true in Yasinski.
Which is clearly rebutted by the facts of this case.
Can you articulate any difference between this case and Yasinski?
Well, Your Honor, that's exactly what I'm attempting to do.
Yeah, but everything you've articulated so far was true in Yasinski.
Your Honor, there's also the issue of him having specifically identified the individuals who attacked him and the fact that the Ukrainian police simply closed this investigation, never followed up with him, never took any steps to further investigate this matter. He also was subsequently informed that the Ukrainian police had, in fact, turned this investigation around and were actually investigating his involvement as an attacker. It does suggest that the police were making no effort whatsoever to protect him and that they were, in fact, wholly being driven by a desire to control any free expression of his political opinion. Aside from the fact that there's a demonstration that the government of Ukraine was unable or unwilling to protect him, each of these incidents, contextually and temporally, where he was harmed, followed directly an event when he was politically active. As I was saying earlier, on the first occasion when he spoke in front of a large audience, he was specifically harmed. He was specifically attacked by five men afterwards. On the second occasion, when he was acting as a poll observer, and he had a disagreement with members of with other individuals at this polling station, he was specifically attacked after that. The third occasion when he was attacked, he was specifically told by the individuals who attacked him that he was being attacked on account of his political opinion. So there is substantial evidence here to show that and there is not substantial evidence to support the BIA's finding that he was specifically persecuted on account of his political opinion. There does not appear to have been a specific question about whether or not the level of harm that he experienced.
What did the police fail to do?
Your Honor, they failed to effectively investigate.
Well,
it goes beyond an effective investigation.
The country has a ineffectual police force, is that, or inferior to an American or British police force? Is that enough to...
It's not, Your Honor, and I did misspeak, because it's not a question of just simply being ineffective, but it's a question of whether or not the police would devote any resources to investigate. Just as in Gushchenkov, where petitioner's complaint was responded to by the police with
You say the police conducted no investigation?
It doesn't appear that they conducted any sort of substantive investigation in this matter, Your Honor. In fact, they seem to have nixed the investigation from even occurring by making a finding that no criminal activity had occurred, which is clearly contradicted by the facts that the petitioner was injured. He was beaten with something metallic on the second occasion. He suffered a concussion. And all of this, his testimony about all these injuries was deemed to be credible by the immigration judge. So it does defy logic for the Ukrainian government to have then made the finding that he had not experienced any sort of attack, that there was no evidence of criminal activity. That's the fundamental issue. It doesn't appear as though the government of that country and the police force were making any effort whatsoever to actually investigate this. We must also remember that Ukraine is an entirely different country from the United States, with issues involving corruption in the police force. This is borne out as well by the country conditions reports. Furthermore, addressing the issue of whether there is a likelihood
more
of...
More or less corruption in the police force than in Chicago.
Well,
we have quite a few prosecutions for corruption in the Chicago police. Does that mean that any victim of crime whose crime is not solved by the Chicago police is entitled to asylum in Germany?
It doesn't mean that, Your Honor.
All right, but then what distinguishes Ukraine's police from those in Chicago?
The distinguishing factor is whether or not...
You've got your minute left.
Yeah. Your Honor, I will reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
You want to answer, Judge?
Okay, sure.
You do need to answer the question.
Absolutely. The distinguishing factor, essentially, Your Honor, is whether or not this particular principle of being able to express his political views is being upheld and whether or not the police actually would make any effort to protect this individual's rights. In this particular case, no effort whatsoever appears to have been made by the police. The police didn't – there's nothing suggesting that they were making such an effort. With that, Your Honor,
thank you.
Okay, I will reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Mr. Jolly?
May it please the Court, my name is Lance Jolly. I represent the Attorney General, the respondent. The sole issue before the Court is whether the record compels the conclusion that the Ukrainian government is unable or unwilling to protect the petitioner. No evidence was given that the police refused to respond to the report. The police did not say that they had more important things to take care of or to maintain a low profile. What matters is why the government did not act. And the only evidence in the record is that the government did not act because of lack of sufficient evidence. And under Jonathiene,
What what similarities or differences do you see between this case and Yasinski? I'm very puzzled that the Attorney General's brief doesn't even cite Yasinski, which appears to be materially identical to this case.
I have to admit, blame on part. I'm unaware of Yasinski, but if as you say it is, then I would say.
Doesn't the Department of Justice do any legal research to find what the Seventh Circuit might be saying about asylum claims from Ukraine before filing a brief in an asylum case from Ukraine?
We certainly should, if we did not. But this. We did research with regards to Ingman Toro, Gushenskov, Hoare, Jonathan, and the legal principle is that where the government, where there's no indication that the government failed to, when you don't know whether the government was presented with sufficient evidence to prosecute, substantial evidence supports the agency's decision. He didn't. Contrary to what petitioner said, there's no evidence that he specifically identified his attackers to the police. And as such, there would be no way to follow up. And as far as the corruption goes, the corruption in the country report seems to indicate that does not seem to bleed into the political sphere. The 2009 report, for example, states that there is no politically motivated killings, that actions are taken against police corruption, and that the individuals could criticize the government publicly and privately. As far as demonstrations, political demonstrations, permits are generally granted. There's just no evidence that the government would not be unable or unwilling to protect the petitioner. Unless the court has other questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, and we thank Mr. Jolly, Mr. Shaw as well. We'll move on to our next case, which is Chen versus Holder.